Okay, what's next?
The board.
We're calling in the board supervisor.
Yeah, we'll do that. Page 32. You ready to go? All right. Now we're coming back with board of supervisors. Alyssa, you got a request in here for a risk manager. Let's start there.
I've been in my position almost 7 years now and kind of taking a look at what we need from an HR perspective. We've done some restructuring and we have a generalist now. What I see is where we're lacking is in the safety area and risk management area. So there are a lot of times departments need some assistance with safety programs. For instance, just recently, conservation needed a respirator protection program. So I drafted that for them and got that going. I think this is a void here at the county. We don't currently have a formalized safety manual. We're as large of an entity as we are. That is one thing I think is needed. Each department handles a lot of their programs on their own. The other area is if we... I prefer to take a more proactive. There's been some other counties that have had some issues come up where OSHA has come in. They've had to be reactive. I'd rather be proactive, make sure we're up to date on everything that we have. A real focus on safety. We made a lot of progress over the last few years with our safety committee, but we're at the point where we need someone that is dedicated to do safety observations and take that to the next level. The other two areas that I see this position providing would be is if the county would go into some self-insurance for any liability or workers' comp. We would need somebody in place to handle that. And then also one thing we've kind of lacked, or we need to get up to date would be our emergency procedures here. We just put panic buttons in. We don't have a policy yet on what do you do if that panic button is pushed. I think this position could work with emergency management. Emergency management isn't our, doesn't draft our emergency plans for the county, but I think this position would be the individual that would do that could work with Keith. I know Keith and I have had quite a few conversations about this. As large of an entity as we are, and we don't have a risk manager, and how this is proposed, it's very safety focused. So it's not just, you're not just looking at a risk manager as far as liability insurance and different things like that, but it is more, I feel the county needs more of a safety coordinator type position than just the risk management position. That's why I'm requesting this position. I think overall it would, between how we're structured with HR, this would give us what we need.
Okay. So, well, Marty, when I joined the board almost 8 years ago, we didn't have an HR director for Story County. You guys have been here long enough now to know, can you imagine us not having an HR director and an HR staff and what that would look like? I think this actually falls into the same category of the kind of thing that we're really fortunate that we've been able to get by to this point without this position. And you look at the $97,000, I think, that you got plugged in, total cost of position, including salary and benefits. So $100,000, that's less than one lawsuit if we aren't doing things the right way. Loris, I think you represent us on safety. Talk to me about your perspective.
One of the things that I feel from the safety committee is that everyone is very dedicated and wants to have things be better, make sure everyone's safe and that we don't just face the risk. However, there's nobody really in charge, okay? There's no clear-cut responsibility there on the safety committee about who actually will take the lead. And we discussed this. I'm going to go into one of Alyssa's points here about possibility of asking Keith Morgan to work with, if we hired someone, to look at some of these. We did have a situation come up with what is the chain of notification? when all of a sudden we get that, and not just if something's going on in the street, but what happens if we get that tornado warning and conservation naturalists are out there in the field with kids, and who gives the gun on the ground or get back here immediately orders, that kind of thing. So I see the rationale very much for that. I do have a question, and that has to do with if we would ever self-insure workers' comp or liability insurance. And it's the workers' comp part. It's just kind of more of a factual question. I wasn't aware ever that anybody did self-insure your workers' comp because there's almost an inherent conflict of interest there.
No, they do. A lot of your cities do a portion. It would not be a total self-insure. That's too much liability. But there would be your smaller claims, and it would keep your premiums down, and you'd be able to adjust those claims.
Right.
That's more or less where we would bring to the board. It wouldn't be a full, same with liability. You don't fully, in my opinion, you wouldn't fully insure liability. There's too much risk.
Okay, but just to ask about the conflict, there's no conflict of interest of having a county employee make the determination about when somebody has met their worker comp requirements to qualify.
We still have a third party administrator, so it would just be more or less paying those claims, and on the liability side, it would be more or less adjusting those claims directly with the individual. This is a small, you know.
Okay.
But that would be, a lot of those questions too could be answered by our agent and broker for the insurance.
Well, you have but to go talk to somebody in administration over at Sunstrand and see what happens when you have a serious injury death. And I watched DuPont go into a Mother May I mode when they did something that went off the hull of OSHA last fall. And you don't want to be them, because the thing is, they will turn over every rock, find out what policies, what you're not doing right, what you don't even know you're still accountable for. So that scares me, the fact that today we're going to go through this conversation and say, yeah, it has worth in merit, and we still don't have that. It brings me to the point, this past fall, we had a gas line split by a contractor in the city, of Nevada, a half block from this facility. And I guarantee you, there's still unsettled feelings down in the treasurer's office because they wanted to know what we were doing. You know, you spoke to it just tangibly. You know how you responded to it, and it was one of those things. Who do we go to? What's the mechanism of notification? How do we do this? Frankly, we even had opportunities to identify a glaring need. Now I will turn to the dollars required to fund this position. This is not an easy lift. But I also know that we did, as a board, went and had a conversation with the FBI and the Sheriff's Department in regards to positioning a deputy into the Central Iowa Gang Task Force, knowing that this need had come to us and we had to be responsive. I guess knowing that was plainly made apparent to us, I see this pretty much along those lines. So we have, and I mean, Melissa's telling you this is what is here. Can she do some of this? Some maybe, but to the degree that you want OSHA to pass the test, probably not.
I think, if I may here, it struck me when we were discussing in the facilities budget session about the versus the ladders, the steps up there on top of the jail and the justice center. And when I asked the question, you know, when would we have to get this done? And it was kind of a joke, but I didn't find it. And I think prioritization of safety-related projects needs some coordination, because I heard there was a real risk that somebody could be hauling tools up a ladder one day of what we have now, and there could be an accident if there already. There could be other things that we do or make decisions in the future that are all very well intentioned, but there could be a risk down the road that's not anticipated. So that's another thing from my perspective here.
Yes.
I do have a question if there's knowledge, skills, and ability.
Mm-hmm.
It says the second kind of item here is thorough knowledge of local government organization and administration. And when I see that, my antenna goes up about is there already somebody identified? Are we creating a position just for a person? No, I think I
put that in there, honestly. I drafted this. I was the one that did that. And I think to do, it isn't a prerequisite to be hired for the position, but I think in order to do all this, you need a thorough understanding of local government. We operate very differently than the private sector. So when we put the knowledge, skills, and abilities in there, it's, I take a look at, okay, so we want somebody to perform this job. What's it going to take to do all of this? They're not going to come in with that.
Okay.
That information.
So this is definitely a
recruitment. Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't have anybody.
Well,
that I know that has the skill set.
I like.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
And so I think in this case, 100%. I wish we had somebody in house. I wish we had somebody we knew. This is such an important job, but we just don't have anybody. And I would encourage us to really lean into our insurer for assistance in working through the process of identifying a really good candidate, assuming this is you.
I've had some discussions. Deb and I met with Steve Goodhue and Andrew. And just had some, you know, what is best practice? They've done some work as far as what should a safety program, risk management program look at in a local government.
Well, Ames hired them as a consultant to help them, and multiple other counties, I think, have used them to help get to a solid process.
Yeah.
Frankly, that's what they do. Okay, so.
A question in discussion. Does Ames still have their risk manager? Yes, correct.
They have a risk manager. I believe he's been there 6 months, maybe. It was a. This is not an easy recruitment, and it wasn't for the city of Ames, and I don't anticipate it's going to be a real easy recruitment here either. This is some pretty specialized skills. You know, you don't want somebody to come in that doesn't have any safety knowledge. I mean, I would anticipate somebody would have an EHS background of some sort. And is very familiar with OSHA in the sense.
Does this position have any cost savings to the county by
insurance?
Yeah,
no. Well, what I could see is it would reduce future claims, possibly getting your practices in place. You know, one of the things I look at from a safety perspective, while we, you know, we wouldn't want to have accidents. And different things like that. The most important is we have a safe environment for our employees to work in. And if we don't have programs set up where we should, like the ladder versus the steps, we're putting our employees at risk. So, you know, we do our work comp comes in once a year, and they go through and we go out to secondary roads and we look at equipment out there, and you know they inspect ladders and different things like that. Just, you know, when you're in looking at different things all the time, you don't see what's wrong. So they come through and make recommendations. So this would be more or less somebody that can do that on a more regularly.
Is that a full-time job, though? That's why I was asking about the Ames person, because Ames had some kind of risk manager in the past. His name was John Scott, and I can't remember what that name was. Okay. Yep. So is this a full-time position, or is this something that we should explore looking at? Is it a possibility to share some of the names?
I look at it as a full-time, at least a full-time position. Until we get somebody in there to really look at our safety programs and different things like that, my hope is it is just full-time and we don't need additional staff. But I don't see where it would be anything less than full-time at this point.
All right, so we won't approve a position by the work session, but I would ask that you get it on our agenda as quick as you can. And if we talk about going ahead and filling in for the remainder of this year, probably starting in April, and try to go ahead and work with the process. Now, something that we do need to think about is where exactly, if this position is approved, where will it be housed? Is this something that needs to be housed in the Board of Supervisors' office, or can it be housed elsewhere?
I would recommend having it within our office if possible, or at least within the building if there's a location. We can give up some of our, I believe we can give up some of our storage here if it can be worked. I'm not a construction person. I don't know where they are.
Maybe the wall between Rick and Marty's office is a non-supporting wall. There could be maybe just kind of slide off a little bit, or be a third place there.
I wouldn't want this position at a different location.
Sorry.
I wouldn't want this position at a different location. I think it's going to take some oversight the first.
So in this building, so if it's in our board of supervisors' office, there's really only two possibilities with the space that we have, and that is to carve off part of our storage room and turn that into an office. Or to redo our front and have the area where our intern sits right now turn into an office and read the computer where the copier and everything is. That's the only possibility that I see in our office. Then in this building, you have the possibility of putting them downstairs near our file room. It's kind of the old board house. Last week, we already got offices set there, and maybe that's a great temporary solution while we figure out exactly where it is. And the other possibility would be to carve out some new office space, much like we did for community outreach down this hallway. Now, that continues to limit our auditor storage and absentees, and it may not be a reasonable solution. My thought would be, let's start with the office existing in the office space that we have downstairs across the hall from planning and development and health, with the idea that if necessary, we find a way to renovate our office in order to have another space. That, Melissa, is that workable for the, I'm looking at timing.
Sure.
If we bring somebody in April.
We wouldn't have, you're not going to have anything constructed.
Right.
I think my main thing is it just needs to be on site at this building. I don't think it's feasible to have. I mean, I know we would have some possibly office space at HSC, but I just don't think that's not a workable solution.
I would just, to that end, as we bring the conversation to us, would it be appropriate to ask Steve, since you've got to speak to us, I mean, on the insurance side, in regards to what he has been involved in? He's been asked to be a consultant. Let him come here and consult with us.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Now, the other thing I just want to say is I did not put, when I put together the board's budget, I didn't figure in an extra phone line. I did,
yep.
I mean, because the position was not approved, so just when we go through the rest of that, just
and so that leads me to a question for Lisa Markley or us. Okay, so where would this be funded from? Would this be out of county line?
Right here.
In our budget, okay.
Okay. All right. To our expenses. So clearly, so that position has not been approved, but there is very clear general inclination that I think is reasonable to expect it to be approved when it comes forward to us on a Tuesday. So we need to keep that in mind as we're looking at the rest of our budget. So expenses. Let's just go right down the line.
My first one, office supplies. And my question is, with outreach producing more materials for us to take out to the public, like the annual report, and our story, those hard copies going out that way, does that come out of this line item? And if so, why would we?
The copy fees don't. So it would just be the paper. So the copy fees would be under your equipment rent and maintenance. So we may see if we're doing more using our copier
right.
to produce that, that's going to go up because we're going to have our copy fees. The office supplies would just purchase just the paper or whatever other supplies.
So when we're down, you were planning on budgeting 22% less, and that's what it's here, and yet I think we're buying more of that special paper, which is not the most cost-effective as compared to buying the 8x11. So does that paper come out of here?
And if you look at, Loris, if you look at where we're currently at, we are not spending. I mean, if you look at our office supplies right now, we've only spent $980. Now, that doesn't take into consideration anything that we purchased, but we've reduced a lot of supplies. We don't use as much paper for certain things. But if Leanne would, I mean, if you guys would know of costs that we need to figure in there, I still think $2,500 would be sufficient just because of where we're at right now. I don't know. We were constantly repairing our copier the last time we had. So all the toner was coming out of there, the repairs and different things. You know, so we had some expenses that we don't incur anymore. So
I just want to make sure we've got enough so that we're not restricting any outreach opportunities in the future. That's what I want to say.
Okay. So anything on board proceedings or mileage and expense? If not, communication services, why do you get that up 32%?
The radio interviews. Why is that possible? The KSI, I asked that the KSI proposal be put back in for fiscal year 19 for us to discuss that. That's $2,600. This is a special, Lisa. This is separate from anything that anyone would do being invited to appear on a program. This actually we would pay $50 a week on a rotating basis to have people from various departments come in talk about a special program, talk about what taxes are due, talk about what they're doing with a higher profile page a lot, and then there's $600 I asked to be put in as a, contribution to KHOI. They are a public community radio station and they don't sell advertising per se. They have been offering monthly, Leanne has been going on giving updates and we continue to do that. And that's more, the model is different than a commercial radio station. And so that would be a contribution to them for their mission. Kind of like we fund various things through maybe the chamber or we get the service back, or we're getting at this point, we would be sponsoring our own appearance on stage.
So, so my perspective on the KHOI is it appears to be a tough scramble every time to find somebody to go on KHOI and do something, and I have not heard, I don't know what you guys have heard, I've not heard one single comment from a citizen about the county being on KHOI. As far as KASI, I appreciate any time one of us is invited to go on one of their shows and do that. With the ability we have to put things up online, I'm not sure I see the value to us in spending dollars to have a regular spot on KASI. So I think that's my initial reaction to that. Marty, what's your thoughts?
I don't know. We had a good year as far as improving our
story on just a distribution basis. I guess I come from over on this side of the county where if you don't have any real KHOI, I guess it's a means-centric provider. And so I guess I would not, I defy anybody to go, okay, walk the streets and take your damn pick of the town and say, who's listening to us on that? And you probably won't anyway. Okay. So I'm just a little bit lost there. KSI gets a little bit more punch.
I think the override here with the sister to KSI, I wrote the email last night, but I haven't sent it yet to ask all of the department heads and also those that were the department heads and elected officials, but the department heads would be the ones who are kind of have their own commission, like in Australia, or the VA, or the health participation. Okay, so I wrote that last night, have not sent it yet, waited for this discussion. The KSI situation has to do with that people are getting more, using more resources to get information. And so while we are doing our story, which I have some more information on, by the way, okay, when we discuss that, while we're doing our story, there's still not people who choose to pick it up or, as I discussed with the distribution outlet, as the members here, okay, from the Tribune, or may not be aware of it yet, okay? And you've got people who are still radio or TV-centric, and obviously then we've got people who are social media-centric. And each one has its own type of model to best produce the information and how people listen to that information. And so the KSI, why I want to bring that back again, is that there are people that we know that use them as a news source. They may, in fact, sometimes be tuning in specifically just to listen from that. It would be basically the 7 to 8 or 8:30 hour. And they're not using it the rest of the day, but they're keeping track of the community, and we are a vital part of the community. And that's why I brought that back, because people access information through different media sources.
Yep.
We have gone to the trouble and expense for doing the website refresh. You're going to see a more robust hosting of information in a more palatable, more consumable manner in April. We have got the push out of our story. I tell you what is well received right now is our board of supervisors little booklet that have taken several different meetings as well.
And
so,
a report.
I got to tell you, trying to push the, you know, if you're chasing zero to having everybody informed 100%, you're not going to do it. Yeah. And the thing is, after a while, the easy stuff I think we're doing and trying to get to the end where everybody knows everything. Well, I would turn to your voter turnout, and Lucy could probably speak to this. We can't get everybody that should vote to vote. And I think you're not going to get everybody that's going to think, unless the county has something that comes into their world that either works or doesn't work, they're not going to pay attention to what we're doing. But I don't think that we should stop trying. But I think we try pretty good right now. And so the thing is, you're just chasing the dollars around, saying, like, what that we don't do, and taking into account what we have recently done, are you looking to get? You know, I mean, I would almost ask you to quantify it.
I don't think I can bring you a direct quantification that you're looking for here, Marty. I can't do it. It's more of an outreach in trying to make sure that you've got outlets covered for the various demographics in the county.
And I get that, and it's not. I don't think that it's not a worthy goal, but I think for the dollars expended for the capture is probably upside down.
So $50 a week for you is...
I think when we speak to them, I would think it's on a public service basis, the fact that we have a story to tell that they believe their market, their listeners, would like to hear. As far as us having to pay to give that information, it's just like, well, it's your tax dollar. I mean, I would turn to KSI and say, is this a worthy expense of the tax dollars in your world?
Let me, going on your approach that way, okay, would there be any support, which would not be a monetary support, but would be a philosophical support, that we work with outreach to work with KSI to see if we can't get some more regularly scheduled interviews? They're now doing 3 hours a day on news topics Monday through Friday. There's an hour from 9 to 10 that is with Mel in the Morning, or whatever it's called, if he does that hour. Yeah. And then, of course, there's Trent Rice is doing from noon to 2. And that it would be, if this is a little added role for outreach, but it would be a more aggressive pushing of topics that are in the news that we might have a perspective on, and that would be not just water supervisors, but once again asking for all county departments, when we might be able to have someone go on as a guest to discuss for a 10 or 15 minute thing. So that rather than just them calling twice a year and, you know, saying, hey, we want somebody to come on and talk about what's going on over there, then we have some ongoing. Would you support that philosophically?
Because it would require some outreach. You can get your department heads to speak about their respective departments,
right,
which is very critical. And the thing is, I would not obligate anybody that doesn't want to. But and you need to get about, I think you need a sense of the county government in a holistic way.
Right.
And find out where that, you know, maybe you might find that you've got gaps. All of a sudden, well, the treasurer's office doesn't want to talk, and maybe the sheriff's office doesn't have anybody that can cut loose, and all of a sudden you've got gaps, and I'm sure Joe Quaker would just be glad to go talk about weeds every chance you give him, and he'd probably bring a few along he could.
Right.
But after a while, it's just like, are we getting what we thought they wanted?
They want it,
KSI, because they're looking for programming.
Correct.
They're looking to fill the time segments. They're looking to fill those time segments.
15 hours, plus they often use the interviews in the 15 hours of extended to make their little 30-second news time. So if there's a philosophical agreement, and I'm looking out at our outreach manager because this would fall to her or someone working with her, but if there's a philosophical agreement here that we at least explore this, I understand your reluctance about the 2600 at this point for that, and we still might get the goal met, which is to get a more robust information out there beyond the severe weather appearance that keeps their ballista make every year, or auditor just with elections.
I feel as if we would support that approach. I would like to get a sounding of what the government has.
Can
Chrissy, our intern, handle that as part of her task list, just to do regular outreach to KSI and push topics that we think are worth pushing?
Possibly.
But I'm not picturing that this is a daily outreach. Here's the topics that we would love, that we have somebody ready to come on for over the next few weeks. And if you want anybody, let us know.
I would like to continue the ability to go to them with our information. You know, we will come, but here's what we're going to talk about.
Correct. And, down further in the budget, there's a line for contractual, possibly being able to do some contracting with a outside communications person that would work under our outreach director or manager as appropriate. This might be something that this contractor could do. It would have a little more experience than an intern would certainly, we'd be paying by a the hour for this work, because we'd only be calling a contractor when there were things that outreach wanted to give because of their expertise, contractor's expertise. And most contract people, I assume, that outreach would be speaking with to interview for something like this outsourced position, that would be one of the things, is how do you contact media? Do you have your setup? And usually anyone who's doing contract PR or contract communication, this is a pretty basic thing that they would have in their...
Sure. Let's hold that one for just a minute, and let's go through, and we'll get there here in just a minute.
Sure.
So let's take $3,000 out of communication services.
Okay.
So that goes to 5580. Education and training. Alyssa,
mm-hmm.
You feel good, so you talk to everybody in the office about the kind of things they might be thinking they would do. Education and training, you feel good about the numbers that you plugged in here?
Yeah, the only thing would be in that new position, but I think we have enough within there that the HR is 5,500. I think we have. There's just a couple safety conferences.
Okay. Yeah. Any questions about education and training?
All I would say is you're probably going to incur an expense on hiring a search firm, correct?
Or
if you had a, are you going to have? Are we looking to hire a search firm if we went to a safety director, or we have the ability?
We're doing the recruitment ourselves.
We will do. Okay.
Yep.
Fine.
Absolutely.
Good. We don't have to spend that money.
Nope.
All right.
Okay. Equipment rent maintenance.
That's my best guess for the copier. I don't know how many copies, but I just kind of looked at what we used and made a good estimate there. The maintenance for the HR file is just an annual fee for that remover and that movable file down in the basement.
Okay. Questions there? Now we're to contract labor. We got we got $50,000 in contract labor. There's two components of that. There's one, Alyssa, that I think primarily runs through you for union negotiations and things like that. And then there's the second line that Loris was just talking about on the communication side. So I was one of those that I started completely in favor of looking at doing this, and I have been so impressed
with the work of our intern and the way Leanne and our intern seem to be working together. And for me, as I sit here right now, I don't know what the big hole is that we're trying to fill that our communication intern is not currently filling. And so just Marty and Morris, you guys helped me with that. Help me understand. I saw the real need for having some extra help prior to our intern coming on board and getting up to speed. I think she's doing a phenomenal job. And so I'm struggling with that line right now.
Reliance upon an intern in general, okay, is somewhat dependent on the skills or the ability that the intern brings in and how they match with the person who is responsible for mentoring, or you will, or handling the intern. And Christy and Leanne are a great match. No question about it, a great match. So Leanne did a good job of interviewing and picking a good compliment for her. Christy is an intern, she's not an employee. So we can't be reliant long-term on that relationship continuing to exist, first of all, okay? And so also, because she is an intern, there are areas that she will not be bringing in skills that she still has to learn, okay? And hiring a contract professional communicator in those instances where there's either not the time or the match. That might be production of a particular piece that we want. Sometimes that requires a different writing style. Taking a look at the layout. And I certainly appreciate that Christy and Leanne allowed us all to get input, and I appreciate you guys taking my input after we put it together. You did a great job of walking through everything so that when it was time to look at it, it was just really fine-tuning some little stuff, okay? So there may be a time when we want to produce a little higher quality of a particular product. I think the end report this year was phenomenal. We all next year probably have ideas of what we'd like to see it. I suspect there'll be more input. But also we're looking at video. There's a more emphasis on video, even in the work plan and in some of that relationship. And once again, it may be that we would benefit from bringing someone in from outside communications in to specifically help in just the production of a little, maybe just to offer one time some ideas about how to better package even our meetings without taking up a lot of extra time. Or the video is on the work plan is going out and actually producing some videos for departments. And some of our departments, like the Sheriff's Department, Animal Control Office.
So we got to get to the end.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Every time you say that, he kind of bristles.
I apologize, Sheriff Fitzgerald, okay, and any other elected official. Thank you. Office. So there would be opportunities to bring in someone who, if no other thing, would be for the first one or two production of videos who could help walk us through on kind of that more professional level, and then maybe us for staff, invite staff internally to not have to do in the future. That's my thought about a communications person. Now, I know that Alyssa and Leanne did a time study, and so I'm going to, at that point, let them comment. Those are my
rationale. Yeah, I think so where I hear you going is for what we're handling in-house today, the documents that we're producing today and the things we're doing today, with the exception of the video of our meetings, you seem to be reasonably satisfied with the way that's going.
Fair with this particular instance.
And what we had just talked about, and I think we're going to talk about a little more, is spending $42,000 to re-outfit this room. And we may want to have some expertise, but we don't know that at this point. But if you're talking about one-off projects, so we decide we want a full video highlighting our secondary roads department and how they do things, then I think it's completely reasonable that we would spend some dollars to do that. But I think that's dependent on a specific project rather than plugging dollars in today for projects that we don't know we're interested in doing. Now, as far as I understand with Chrissy, and I think you're 100% right, Chrissy's our intern, you can't rely that an intern is going to be with you as long as you can rely on a regular employee. But as I understand with Chrissy, Chrissy's got 15 months of school left, and I think would love to, is enjoying her time with us and would love to stick with us. So as I look at FY19, which is what we're talking about, I don't see that immediate project that we've got to do, that thing that we're missing that we need to outsource. The other one is, one of the parts you hit on is, and I appreciate this too, so I'm not singling you out, the ability for us to have an impact on, a major impact on the product we put out, we're going to lose some of that control when we go external to have somebody do it for us, right? And so I'd be concerned about that. But let's go, Marty, unless you have anything to add, let's go to the time management piece for outreach and communication in turn.
And I don't know if Leanne wants to come up and talk. She did this. We've got from July until mid-January. And looking at the bulk, of it, I don't know, Leanne, if you've got it ready. She's got about roughly 14% of her time is spent on developing communication plans, procedures, coordinating public relations, different things like that. It is where she's got that noted for. The other areas that take up a lot of time are managing specific programs, which would be her floodplain management program, and then different complex studies and reports, which
Well, yeah, I did a quick just summary. So based on the hours, yeah, right, the managing the specific projects, that's everything from contracts with AEDC to the COOP-COG to C2C plan. That is probably the one that lumps in the most miscellaneous larger projects. That was by far the That's not correct. Not by far. That was the top where I spent my time. Almost said money. And then the next is working with the board to develop communications plans, policies, procedures, guidelines. You know, daily I look at social media. I do press releases. That came in next. And then the administering the special programs, which is floodplain management, CRS. Which is very timely. That came in kind of next. If you look at the top three where the hours are spent, and they're pretty similar in hours too. The first one, I won't go into, like 180 to 150, 140 in the range of those three. I didn't do percentages.
So we want to talk about the whole thing, but let's talk about it in terms of communication right now. So what I don't see is, if we farm some of our communication out to a contractor, how much of yours do you get rid of? So I can't see where the policies and procedures and plans and things like that you'd be getting rid of even with contractors. I could see where you would get rid of some of the tasks, right? So if we wanted to hire somebody to handle social media for us, then I could see where you could get rid of some of that. But I'm viewing that you've been able to hand some of that off via our intern at this point. Just talk me through that.
Yeah, since Chrissy, the intern, was able to come on board, she has like the initial layout for the annual report. She was able to do that, and then I walked in and we went from the smaller to the bigger size. I mean, I was able to help with that. I mean, those one-time publications or the ongoing publications, she's working on the layout for our story and helping with content and that. She's simple things like the Homebase Iowa note cards that we send to every vet that indicates an interest in Story County. She redesigned those. Some of the projects that I'm just not able to get to, she's been able to provide assistance. But beyond that, you know, she really took the communications plan and ran with it and developed those ideas. The social media plan, we have a schedule now. Like I tweeted already this morning and put on Facebook about passport applications. We have a schedule that's on the Google Drive that I can just go in, copy and paste, and I can do that from anywhere, from my phone. So, I mean, having that other body in the office, and it could be right, it could be the dynamics of we work well together, too. But it has really provided a lot of assistance, and it's come at a really good time because of the other priorities I have that if you want me to continue doing this time allocation study, definitely in January and February, that floodplain might even be
tough. Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so we've approved the communication plan just in the last couple of weeks, the Board of Supervisors. What are we not getting done? What's problematic for us to get done as part of our communication plan, as you see right now?
I don't think it's a matter of anything falling through the cracks. And, Loris, Loris's viewpoint is, different levels of what we're accomplishing.
Okay.
We are providing, Chrissy's doing the videos. We haven't seen the final product, but she spent the time as have I to learn the Premiere Pro software so we can do it internally. Will it be the same quality as if we brought a communication specialist in? Probably not. But then again, what is maybe it's going to expectations.
Well, that's the point, and part of it, I'm going to come back just to social media, okay? Because our outward push has picked up, which is good, truly reflective of the intent and effort on Leanne and her new part. But there's another part to really, truly managing social media, and that is being aware and constantly monitoring the accounts of the other departments and our whole presence. And there are two situations that have come up, and I want to say the last 6 months, but I could be off a month or two, okay? And in fact, one of them prompted me to talk to, I think, Deb and Leanne. It was just Deb. You guys were working on an updated social media policy. And it had to do with the fact that there was someone at the sheriff's office who sent out a tweet with a meme or a photo that, from a appearance standpoint, might have been considered somewhat racially insensitive. Okay? I saw it because I get the sheriff's office tweet. I wasn't checking Twitter that day. I'll admit I don't monitor all the day, but I think I'm signed up for everybody's tweet for all here in the county. And I immediately saw it. It visually hit me, and I called Sheriff Fitzgerald right away. He was out of town, but I told him I think he needed to check into this more, and he did. And it was removed within a few hours. It was all handled. You were down with your father. Okay. So it was I let Marty know, and then Melissa know, I let Deb know. Maybe that's how Leah didn't care about this one. But it was like, okay, this is something that we need to remind people about. And we need to, it's the reason you monitor your own social media, just because if you actually opened it up, it was less offensive or whatever. But it was a visual impression. There was also a situation where the VA commission posted what I considered was an advertisement for a commercial business. It was headed into the Veterans Day back in late October, I think, and there was a dentist's office that was offering some free dental work to veterans. However, when you actually click through to it was only the first 6 veterans, and it was limited. There were several things that made it look a little questionable because there were other people offering the same service, but we may not have known about it. And so that's when I did talk to, I remember Dan, and once again, because I know you guys were working on the social media policy one of these 2 days. But anyway, I said, what do we do about, you know, when we're posting something like this? Because we do not know that we're posting everybody who's offering the same. We've got no advance notification to the public that we would be providing this information. You know, so if you're offering free dental care or free medical care to veterans on Veterans Day, please let us know so we can include it in our list. Because VA is always very good about putting out a list of who's doing free breakfast or whatever. That's been a couple over time. But this one was very, very close to, I think, a favored endorsement. And I say favored just from my perception, not it was done anyway. So those are two instances where the monitoring of social media needs to just be done sometimes to see, are we complying with our own policy? Are we, in fact, are people just inadvertently misunderstanding what our social media policy is? And neither one of them rose to a huge deal, as you can tell.
But what I'm struggling to get to, and fourth, I really appreciate those examples. I don't think that's a contract employee that would ever do that. I think that's got to be in-house that handles that, because I don't know how we would count. So I can see where we would count on a contract employee to push information out. I'm not clear on how we could count on a contract employee to monitor our policies and appropriateness and things like that.
Okay. So let's shift. So if you shifted some duties to the contract employee, you'd be what Leanne has already done is her monitoring. If in fact we could be concentrating more in-house on what monitoring and making sure that we've got a good consistent program, pushing the information out by a contract employee is not a problem. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I think I agree with that. I don't see where a contract employee solves the problem, because I think 80% of the communication items that Leanne and Chrissy are working on right now, whether we had a contract employee to push out social media or not, would reside with them. And I'm having trouble getting to. With everything that we got on Leanne's plate from floodplain management, you know, just go right down the list of everything on Leanne's plate. Is it really a wise use of Leanne's time to be the one who's checking every Twitter feed every?
No, it should be an intern person or I think, and the contract is just the shift of responsibilities. The other thing is press releases that we were talking about time, is that, and this is back to the discussion somewhat we had about whether we want to pay for radio or whether we want to just promote ourselves more, is that press doing regular kind of out. These are the things that are coming up, exactly what was described. Here's what we've got coming up. Here are what various departments have coming up. Could you do a radio interview? And not only with KSI, but pitching to the other media that cover, you know. Sometimes we forget that if we pitch it to the Tribune, that it may or may not get to the editor of our other papers in the community. Okay, we have weeklies, etc. So, but and getting press releases or those press contacts out, which is what we kind of discussed earlier about, that's probably something that would be in a contract person's wheel, if you will. That would be that Leanne meeting with the person for an hour or sending an email saying, these are what we've got coming up. And then Leanne would still be the overriding person, but this person would be doing the work. Yeah. So, write some of these or clean them up. So that's what I'm talking about, where we have an expectation of progress.
Right. So what you just described there, of course, I view as a PR man for the campaign. So you're suggesting.
Sam would be the outreach person. This would be the person, once again, providing the task and maybe providing suggestions back. Always within the purview of the county of what we would or would not fit into the schedule and take on about other ways to help get information. And that's why I think contract is a good way to go. If you want to call it the list, if you put out an RFP on this person, might be 10 hours a month on public relations management. So I'll do that for you. But certainly that's not it. And then we already discussed it. So those are my reasons for bringing this forward.
Sure. No, I think it's a great
question. And the reasons for expectations, as Leanne says, about where can we kind of fill in some of the holes without taking us into a professional, you know, kind of management type situation. And then you brought up, which I had been having, if we ever get through all of this, looking at, do we want to upgrade and really go into the 21st century here when it comes to board proceedings in this room, who might be someone appropriate to handle that?
Okay.
Okay.
Martin, thoughts?
I believe the sheriff has his own social media policy,
right?
And I suspect every elected office just might have that ability to do.
Yeah, the interesting one would have been if we had notified the sheriff, hey, there's something up on your social media that we don't feel is appropriate, and the sheriff would have said, yeah, I think it's appropriate, it's fine. I don't think we have any authority to do anything.
That's a dead end. I like the fact that you get it, I get it, and you see it, we have another entity in the sense that, and I just use this as an example, not saying it's a catch-all, fix-all, but TruCamp does a good job of pushing out that which happens through the ABC on a notification of the Ames government, you know, the city government, and you know, the county things, as far as on a posting basis, and I think he has a pretty wide distribution. I suspect that, you know, I get it, but then again, it's done in a way that we have people moving and operating in a way that do get our story out there. Call me the starry-eyed optimist, but we've had very good luck with our interns and the products that they provide. I think I have comfort in the sense that we made the commitment to move the technology just within this room alone. And I understand why you want to get to the end and say, okay, we've done all the technology, we put all the people in place, let's go get out there and do it. I think this is a layering thing, and I can wait for it to get there. Clearly, we're better on our notification and our story delivery than we were in 2016 on this day. I suspect in 2018 we'll be better where we are in 2019 where we are in 2018. So I see us putting down the markers, putting down the dollars to doing what you wish. I guess I am not running at it. I'm walking to it as we can get there.
So did I just hear you suggest that we ship this $20,000 more toward that $42,000 that we're talking about spending to equip this room?
I haven't got there yet, but you can talk to me about that.
Well, we talked about $42,000 yet. Was it Friday? We talked about $42,000 in upgrading this room, sound, video, as I understand it, sound, video, new projector, new screen. And I think we were counting on getting a proposal to go ahead and get something like that done, just to see what all was in it, right? That was with our IT conversation.
I would like to hear Laura speak to that, as far as the appropriation of dollars in respect to.
Everything is a one step at a time sometimes until you get presented with that project, with that actual prospectus that we were presented with from IT, and then it's, oh yeah, you're going to have to do it at one time. So I'm encouraged on anything that we can do to help bring us forward with technology and help us provide a better engagement experience with the public. Right. So if you were shifting the money toward what we look at for that, which we're not sure we're going to do, just a caution to anybody listening here, is a step forward. I appreciate being able to vocalize this. I think what I also heard is in the event that outreach would come up with a project that they might feel going outside for some help would be appropriate. I see you nodding me in. Is that okay that I can summarize it that way? All right. I still see a nod. In the affirmative here. All right. So I appreciate the opportunity to get feedback on this and for you guys to listen to what I've said.
So I think it was a great conversation, and so let's go down that road. So let's move that line item to $30,000. Let's make it.
Can I offer to reduce? I don't think I'm going to need 30.
You don't think you're going to need 30?
No.
Okay. You're feeling good about where the contracts are headed.
I would. I would hope. I would. Much. I cut it to 15, and if something catastrophic happens, I'll come to the board. I mean, is that okay?
All right, so we're going to take that from 50,000 to 15 with the absolute understanding that if there's a project, Leanne, if there's a project, Melissa, if there's a project, Deb,
that you guys feel like is in the county's best interest, you get it to us on a Tuesday morning, and we'll talk it through external from what we have budgeted and figure it out from there. Everybody good with that?
Yes.
Okay. Do we need to talk about dues and memberships?
Actually, just it looks like almost here we just have ISAC and Aveda in this particular line item. Then if you go to page 46, okay, we have another dues and membership there in which the I think it's the AUC is 80%.
Yeah, that's the county. So the county chamber dues.
Right.
Now I believe the Nevada chamber is just the Board of Supervisors, correct? That's why we have it in our budget. And the ISAC is the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
Is your membership as
your Board of Supervisors?
Yeah, not the county's ISAC.
ISAC Supervisors affiliate.
Whatever it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay. So, and the reason I'm just pointing that out is that I still would like us to investigate joining the Ballard Business sure. Alliance, which is the closest they have to a chamber in the southwest part of the county, and also the Story County. Story City Chamber, and then an EDC. I don't know if we're members by virtual funding. I don't know. So I had brought this up last year too.
Yeah.
But I just
feel. Can you guess what those cost?
I think the Ballard one's $200 or $300.
Yep. So if we plug an extra $500 in there.
Yeah, I think we'd be good.
All right, so let's plug $500 more.
Thank you.
Yours or in
Board of Supervisors.
Board of Supervisors.
So $29.55 is what you want?
Yes.
Total?
Yes.
All right. That should do it for that portion of this. So next we're going to go to Betterman? Loss? All right. But first we're going to take 2 minutes.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. All right. Oh, I don't know. Alabama. Well, we're going to tell us what the weather's like in Alabama and Mississippi.
God's country. You ready, Marley?
Yeah. Marley time.
Okay. So we are to local option. Motor vehicles. So all of our vehicles this year are patrol. So traditionally they all come out of rural. But we don't necessarily have to do that. How are we looking at all our different? Do we need to?
I think you can do this. I think this is good. We discuss the 56,000 that we've got to the sheriff's budget in order to get them ready. And I think that should always be my decision.
Okay.
So, no matter where those museums themselves are actually funded from, I think that should always come
out. Always come out of general, okay. Good there, Laura?
Yeah, I just was going back to look at our rural, the calculations that
yep.
we had at the beginning here. Okay. So, you don't feel that the capacity's there in the rural to use those, or you just chose to shift it over to Betterment for a different reason? Or maybe I'm not being 6,000?
No, she's talking about the 210. So, Laura, we do that because back
sure.
how many years ago? Well, we got sued by the Farm Bureau
yeah.
to show tax relief. How many years ago?
It was like 6 years ago.
The first year.
Okay, got it.
And so what we're doing here is we're showing tax relief. And help me if I'm missing this. We're showing tax relief to rural by buying these vehicles out of there. Does that make sense?
It does. Okay, now the two are tied together is what we're the 60 and the 40 are tied together. Is that what you're saying? Or we're just showing this is how we're doing tax relief?
How we're doing tax relief.
All right, thank you. Please.
Okay. Asset, we've got the, so everybody good with the 210
yeah.
for the vehicles. Everybody good with keeping the 56, the 8,000 per vehicle, would not be reflected here, would be reflected in the countywide.
Correct. Right. And that's one of the reasons for that is that's been paid out of the general fund for years and years and years. The only part of the only thing we pay out of the rural fund is the sheriff's patrol salaries, detective salaries, and then your every year dependent or every year discussion as to where we should fund the vehicles that we're purchasing from. So historically that 56,000 or whatever the amount is had been paid out of the general fund out of sheriff's.
So it'd be hard to shift it now to rural.
So I don't see a reason to shift it personally.
Ask that we increase to 17.5 this year. Soil and water conservation.
Last year you increased that to 15,000 a year.
Right, and they haven't used it yet, but I just met with you. So Gerald Fitzgerald is the chair, and just met with him. He asked if we could maintain the 15, and also asked if we could look at having a joint meeting once we get the EOR watershed completed, and I indicated that I would like that a lot. So he asked if we could just stay at the 15. You guys good with that?
Well,
yes, I think there was good justification last year to raise it. And I see no reason that it has changed.
Super. Let's see. Sanitary disposal, that one's easy. Economic development, we've got a workforce component in here, or we don't have a workforce component in here? That, where does that come out? And we got a request to increase that. But we do not have, our contract does not increase here. Right? Okay.
So I have a question, though. This economic development, 100,000, this is, I believe, right, what we... you kind of take for the lower the communities, right, and they get.
No, this is what goes in.
Plus the 18.7. You look at page 39 in the current year.
Right.
The 18.7 was for the dogs.
Okay.
For the current year. For 18, reestimated. Next year's 100,000 is actually what the communities ask for. From their pool and their distribution model that they have.
I believe a previous board had told the communities in the economic development group, the Story County Economic Development Group, that if they changed their bylaws, that I'm looking at Leanne for confirmation of this, if the bylaws were updated and correct, that the county might look at increasing that amount. Is this correct?
Since I'm the one who said it, I'll just speak directly to it. So they came 3 years ago and asked for us to increase the level of support to that. And at that time, I said, and was supported by Wayne and Paul, we're not even going to consider an increase until and unless you get your organizational documents together. At that point, we were all over the map. Now, they have since done that. But to my knowledge, there has been no new request from them to increase this. And in fact, this is going to be the first year, so they put in a new funding formula last year, there were more people at the table, and so this will be the first year of going all the way through that. Okay.
And partially why I bring this up has to do with last cycle, there were some new people at the table asking for money. There was the Miracle League. And Nevada Chamber, okay, so two examples. Nevada Chamber asked specifically for some type of marketing money. I had mentioned to Lynn Garland, who is the chair, the director of the Nevada Chamber, about some of the other awards. You know, she was just asking about how we handled economic development money or whatever, and I had told her about this. So she had gone to LaVon Schlitz, I believe, and asked if that was submitted, and it was funded. Okay. So there may be in the future other types of requests. Looking at what is actually economic development dollars from groups that are not historically the primary members of the economic development group, but they're going to their very community economic development through financing for health. So I wondered about the need to increase the money.
So I think if the three of us want to increase what's available for them for pool funds, that's fine. They're going to have the same formula, right? It's just going to be dividing a different amount, right? But they're basically going to, based on who attends the meetings and what requests are made. So, Morris, if you're suggesting that we increase that to like $110,000 or something like that, I don't see any huge negative ramification with doing that. But it's still going to follow that group to figure out how those monies are distributed.
Right. And we do have, if I'm reading up above, we do have the capacity with a $74,000 carryover, correct?
Right.
Okay. So we would have the capacity to do that. I'm just asking, and I keep on looking at Leanne because she's the one who I think is got her finger somewhat on this. Are there any indications to you, Leanne, so far that the group may increase or there may be more requests coming in?
I should just say that.
Did you say that? Yeah.
No, and there's actually a meeting this Thursday.
Right.
Not really. Given the fact that this is, as Rick just said, our first year running through the new way of doing things, I think there could possibly be some new requests, but it hasn't been vocalized. One thing that we will be looking at, Brenda Dreyer and I, what funding will be needed from the county, if any, for the Economic Development Summit that we're trying to schedule. And that we would also ask it through the Economic Development Group, too. And our hope would be that maybe rather than doing some projects this year, we are able to tap into that fund a little bit more.
Yes.
But we're not far enough along with those discussions to know what that amount would be.
So in my mind, I was looking at holding pat this year and expecting that we were going to increase next year. I'm Marty and Loris, if you guys want to, and I would want it to be a moderate increase, right? So if you guys wanted to go to $110,000, that's a good group that has gotten themselves more organized. They do good work. It has a nice marketing impact on our local communities. And the reality is an extra $10,000 there, you're really only talking about a few hundred dollars per community that they would share in there. But it's a nice thing to do. So when I joined the board, we were actually spending about $56,000 a year in this line item. And we grew it quickly to $75,000, and then we took it from $75,000 to $100,000. But it really has not changed in the last 4 or 5 years. Is that right?
Right.
So you guys call. I'll support you if you want to go to 110.
I would say, okay. Lisa, would this be something, and I think clearly, that if you want to see where Brandon Dreyer has had a real impact, the fact that you're having reorganization and what has been discussed, this is where it's bearing fruit, because I think you have the organization is much more functional, because you've been to a lot of the meetings too, where it was factionalized, it was disorganized, and the thing is now we find ourselves in a new day moving forward. Yes, I suspect that the asks will be there. My question, I would turn to Lisa at this point, is this something that you would rather, you know, just on a budgeting side of things, would it make more sense to put the $10,000 there, because I'll use the term, the dollars that we're talking about, or can we wait for the ask to come to us and we amend to do it? It's an either or would you, do you have a preference?
In this case, just to put it there.
Well, then that's all I need.
Thank you for you.
That's all I need.
Or you're good with
110? I'm good with 110, and it can go in this fund, right?
Just where it would go.
Where it would go.
But that means that 110 flows through the Story County Economic Development Group, right? That's not anything that we're going to discuss again. They're going to make their request of Lisa, but they're going to be doing it based on
$110,000.
Okay.
We good?
Yeah,
okay.
We're good.
No, I don't have any difference on tourism. I would like us to increase libraries to $315,000.
Did they ask for any additional dollars? Yeah. You met with them. I had another meeting. I didn't talk to them.
Every year. I mean, the work that our libraries do
they can always use a little more. I think that's a 3% increase of what I'm talking about. And I want to remind you both that the libraries on their own redid their formula to the detriment of our larger libraries to help our smaller libraries. And so if we can find a way to put another 9,000 into our libraries, those have become the hubs, especially for our smaller communities.
Yes. I'm fine with that. I had made a mark about an increase.
You want to leave 18 alone, but take 19.
I want to leave 18 right where it is. I want to take 19 to 315.
I'd like to come back to tourism.
Yeah.
Okay. We budget 10,000 for this every year. This is where the Iowa Games money comes out of.
Right.
And I think if you remember last year, I brought up at some point, it may not have been budget time, but later on. So that's when I figured out that that's where the Iowa Games money came from. Okay. Is that we're giving to one entity, but no, do the other tourism-related events even know that we have money available? So my concern or my question here moving forward, it has to do with how do we get, if we're budgeting 10,000, how do we get notice out there to other groups that hold events that bring people from out of county and then stay overnight? Because that's what Iowa Games does, right? It's our largest infill event, right? How do we get that word out that there's possibly money available for them?
Well, we do the same thing that we do here. We count on the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau to bring us, if they need our assistance in something, that they would come to us.
And just to help me fill in the background, that's how Iowa Games first came.
I can't tell you how Iowa Games first came. That's
forever.
Way before my time.
I know.
I'm telling you that's how we've operated over the last 8 years is the CBB knows that if they've got a project coming, I think we were involved on, we did something with Beat Baseball. It depends. We did something with the Special Olympics World Games. We did, and so there, from my view, Lawrence, there already is a mechanism to get.
Okay,
that.
Okay,
part of that, we do pay $700 a year of that. So $4,000 is Iowa Games. The $700 that we spent is part of the Central Iowa Regional.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I've been to one of those meetings when I was working with the ACDB to produce the joint, guide. So thank you. And actually, I'm supposed to schedule that a meeting probably over 2 weeks in order to catch up. So thank you.
All right. That takes care of loss.
And then just so the facade, we're not going to do anything with it at all.
That was my understanding from Leanne that there was no request/I didn't get anything.
I misunderstood you. I thought you meant for this fiscal year.
Well, this fiscal year of 18 stuff.
Yeah, and that's what the applications have come in so far.
You want to put money in for next year? Conversations with me have been that seems to be drying up a bit as far as interest, but she should speak to that much.
I would like to put some money in there. In fact,
I misunderstood you.
When we looked at revamping the facade program, I think we had a $10,000 amount in there. Is that not correct?
Yeah, I think
$10,000 has been a placeholder forever the understanding that if we have more projects than that come forward, we'll have real interest, right?
So I would like to put $10,000.
All right, so that would take us to $120,000 in the economic development, which we're $118.7 right now for this year. So $120,000 there, but $110,000 of that $120,000 is available to the Story County Economic Development Group. Good, Marty, are you good with that?
I see the value in the facade.
I disagree. In fact, we give ourselves the back door to, if we have a worthy ask, that we can revisit it and then fund it if need be.
Now, I also want to know if we left the new secondary roads purchase of a motor grader of 265 here.
No, we probably.
The conversations we've been having is that we don't know what that's going to look like next year, but I think it's important to leave it there.
Yeah.
If it comes to, oh, we need to put some money away, we need to make the payment, whatever the situation may be, then I can come to you and say, let's transfer those dollars to wherever we need them transferred to as a down payment.
And I see it from a so I see that exactly the same, except from a paperwork perspective, I see it. So we're saying that we're going to have $650,000 payment on acquiring new equipment. We got 661 put away. What I'm seeing is the first 265 of that 650 will be these dollars right here, and then we'll pull the other 400 out of the fund that we already have tied to the new equipment, which will let us start with a $200,000 balance as we start to build it next time.
Okay.
You guys follow that?
Yes.
Okay.
For your information, what you did here is now we're at 45.5 as a carryover, quote unquote carryover.
Right.
So that saving $9.
Assigned.
All right. Because they're assigned for only this use.
Right.
So what ends up happening is, since we're totally guessing on the tax receipt, and we're totally guessing on the carryover for a year.
Right.
That number right joining the budget will be 45.5, and then we'll see how the year progresses as the rest of the year.
So my next question while we're here is that for the housing pilot project, would one source possibly be able to be this money here for the housing pilot program that is right now illegal? With legal to use that $45,000, or would that be a different fund? Would that be countywide? Now remember, the money can go to people needs, so would that be countywide?
Well, the definition of rural services is benefits primarily the rural unincorporated area.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So when you're doing libraries, for instance, right, they're giving us the rural numbers, circulation, in order to determine how much they're getting.
Sure.
When you're doing, there's things that per code have to be paid out of the rural fund.
Right.
And some of these are in here. The Board of Supervisors gets to determine how that 40% will flush those next dollars is spent. And if this is something that they feel could come out of here, then it would be a matter of making the definition and having the board and having the auditors.
Well, thanks for reminding. I don't think so. I mean, we've written it so that there's a preference. Right. So yeah. So this is a preference. But if people may could get it, I think that'd be a rough discussion with the auditors, the state auditors. Thanks. We'll move on then.
You good? All right. Countywide services. Go. Questions on the revenue side, which is what it is.
We had left a conversation as we saw these windmills between Ames and Veda. We had taken them in. We have a policy of taking all new turbines into our TIP program. Now that they have done the fix on the technology side to bring them onto the contributing side, I believe that company had left it with us. They had spoken with you in regards to that they would have some interest in coming back and placing those towers. I believe so. You went out to that. But all I'm saying is, if they have an interest here, and this is something on our generation of revenue side of things, that, you know, clearly, I would have to say that, you know, I know Jerry's department at P&D has been having conversations with them, wanting to know why they weren't turning up to the point what they had done to make themselves an electrical generator. I would think maybe it might be something, you know, while it doesn't express to a dollar valuation, maybe it would be one of those conversations we would like to direct somebody to go back to them. Well, I mean, you have any desire you know, as you left us with the conversation that you would like to think you had the ability to come here and possibly place more turtles.
Yeah, in fact, that event I went to turned out to be exactly a recruiting event for to find more property owners willing to take on turbines. So
I would just think that we could, with that in mind, that's where we left it a year ago or thereabouts, maybe we could re-engage, and I don't care on who on a directional basis to have that conversation, but they're now producing, yes, they're a year later than when they wanted to, but now that they're up and running, maybe they have stage two or phase two that they might be wanting to work towards that we might like to know about.
Okay, well, I've got the president's card and his attach. I can turn that over to whomever is.
Well, once again, I think Amelia or Jerry himself has done the, because you see the updates,
yeah,
going forward. It's okay. And on the tip side of things, it's just like if that is something that we are generating our tip dollars off of, maybe that we have the ability to bring more assets that we can move towards that. And that's all I got.
I just made a note. I did some quick addition. So, journalist here without a calculator in front of her, right? So, but I just did a quick addition about total between family farm tax credits and business credits plus like the homestead, et cetera. Everything that we are dependent on the state legislature for just in these areas, I came up with $1,795,512. So $1.8 million that we are reliant upon the state to give us to reimburse us or do a backfill on or something like that. Does that agree with kind of what you guys have the assessment, Lisa, what you have, that's literally what, in a worst case scenario, could be pulled if the state decides it wants the money.
Yeah, and I would say some of that $1.8 million for us is relatively safe.
Yeah.
And so if you want to do a calculation of what's realistic, I would say the closer you get to 10% of that in any one year,
okay,
is probably, you know, so I look at this as if we're doing a great job budgeting, we better have capacity to absorb $200,000 hit from the state. Tough to imagine that we're going to get hit by a lot more than that.
All right.
Not that that wouldn't hurt. It would, but that's kind of what I see. Okay?
I have a question.
Yep.
On page 40 at the very bottom, the public health pass-through fund, do we expect there to be any change in receiving those dollars as a result of the regionalization of public health agencies, or those from only certain lines?
I heard nothing. This is this is the Mary Greeley home
health services. Yes, that would be the assets.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that one doesn't. This one does not go through asset services. The one that goes through the asset. And that's not. So this is the revenue and the income, all that comes to the agent earlier than the department for help. Okay? That's what this is.
Okay.
And the $1 million expended on the county side.
Okay.
For the engineering relief.
Okay. So aren't they state pass-through for the home health?
Well, this would be
if this number changed, it would also change on
right.
Our
business revenue and expense. And the public health emergency one went away as far as we allocated those dollars and allocated it to the area.
There's some changes going on there with regionalizing.
All the last time.
Anything else on the revenues that we need to take a look at? Okay. Expense side.
Medical examiner, where are we on that? So it looks like everything's up there. Marty, you've been...
You're going to have an ask for additional training that periodically comes up to on a certification basis. I think on board, but it'll be small dollars, I think. And you know, this amount doesn't reflect that. I would ask that it be put there.
Well, this is just a double. We just doubled what we got so far this year. Is how we got it on there, right?
Well, then I think that we probably have built in there, and if it's not all spoken for, I think because I had a conversation with Dr. Weider here through the fall that his two assistants were going to need some additional training here after the first year, and now we're there. Have heard anything since then? Discussions are going to turn to on a disaster planning basis. You're going to have some more time expenses on radios, but I expect that will be taken care of through the E911 board on handhelds and also on go bags and some miscellaneous disaster the bags. That's small ball, but if you, those dollars probably won't be expended in 19, I don't expect that they could be. Because once again, it's nothing more than theoretical at this point without actually having an end point to say we now implement this. Now we need provision.
Good.
I look at this as a we do our best we can to anticipate what it's going to be and amend the budget when we actually know
that. That's where I would suggest we do it.
So we're growing from, we budgeted 90 last year, we're budgeting 100 this year. Let's leave it there. And if we got to do something different,